in verse 1.
And notice as I read the text, the divine order that is set up here in Scripture that I hope that you will learn from it and will follow it. It says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud." Now notice the order. You sing first and you cry second. Now we got the order reversed most of the time. And I'll just have to go on and confess to you here that my order gets messed up too. I want to cry first and then sing. But God's saying if you're barren, if you're not being as fruitful as you want to be, if you're not having the kind of revival you want to see, quit crying about your circumstance. Lay down your tears for a moment. Now God's saying, He's not saying that now you can't cry. He's not saying that. He said, get your order right. Sing first and cry second. I think it's time for Indiana to start singing. They better drum up the drums. They better string up the stringed instruments. You better get on the organ and the high sound and cymbal. It's time to sing. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more of the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. And I believe that Brother Strap, he really just hit a key note in this service when he said, don't get comfortable. Because if you're comfortable, God is not going to hear you. There needs to be some desolation in our crying out. In other words, let me just put it down to you specifically. God, without you, I'm nothing. God, if you don't move, I'm not going to make it. If you don't help me, Lord, I won't get through this. That's the kind of spirit that gets answers from God. But now here's something you can do. Enlarge the place of thy tent. That means you got to enlarge. Let them stretch forth. Everybody say stretch. The curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Everybody say spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Everybody say lengthen. And strengthen thy stakes. Everybody say strengthen. Why are we going to do this? Because you've got to create the anticipation. Because God's not going to give you anything until you start expecting it. And when you're enlarging and you're stretching and you're sparing not and lengthening and strengthening, what are you doing? It ain't happened yet, but I'm getting ready for it. Miracle ain't taking place just yet, but I'm anticipating it transpiring very soon. I'm going to tell you the reason why God does not do more miracles in our midst. It has nothing to do with our faith. It has nothing to do with our theology. I believe there's faith in this house. I just believe we're so tired and we're so taken with the cares of this life, we don't expect it anymore. Boy, it's quiet now. Y'all could look, amen, if you can't say it. My God, in this house, if you could just anticipate God to start. I think somebody ought to stretch out. I think somebody ought to enlarge the place of your tent. He said, why? For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Somebody's going to break forth on the right. It's going to be a revival sweep Indiana. Say, oh, this is a burnover field. Oh, fooey on that. Oh, there's been so many mistakes in the past. Fooey on that as well. I'm not tied to the past. I'm tied to God's future. Some of you just taking a church and you're wondering whether God's going to do anything for you. I've come to tell you right now, it's fixing to break out on the right and on the left. Start anticipating. And there's always the fear factor, because whenever you step out by faith, you're afraid that you're going to be ashamed and God's not going to do it. He said, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. One mercy moment in the presence of the King can change everything. One moment. You say, oh, we can't have a God moment on a Monday night. You're wrong, honey. There's a moment happening right now for somebody. It happened over here 30-something years ago. It happened over here and over there. But my friend, it can happen tonight right again in your life. And so I ask, Camp Meeting 2005 on this Monday night, can I have a moment of your time? I said, can I have a moment of your time? That's all I need. All we need is one moment in His presence, and God can change everything. I said, do you believe it? I just feel a spirit of prophecy in this house. God's speaking to somebody in this place. He's telling you the devil's a liar. God's on your side. You're going to win this battle. You're not a loser. You're a winner. And all God needs is just this moment right here, ordained by God this evening. He can rebuke and dismiss every generational curse in this house and set the devil on the run and bring you into your future and let you create the destiny that He's already designed and His eternal purpose on your behalf. Don't tell me God ain't got nothing prepared for you when I know better than that. I'm here to put itching powder on your brain. Stimulate your thinking, get you flowing so God can do the work. Shall we lift our hands and worship Him tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us tonight. What a beautiful presence of the Lord in this place. What a beautiful presence of the Lord in this place. Thank you, Father. It's by your mercy and grace that it has transpired. In Jesus' name. Now, before you're seated, I'm going to ask you to do something just a little bit different. But I would like for you to turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, can I have a moment of your time? Now, before you're seated, one preacher preached against that, saying that it might be just a little bit sacrilegious, till I showed him in the scripture where the cherubims, the Bible said they touched on high. Right over the mercy seat. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you got to make contact. There's got to be a horizontal touch. Somebody around you got in faith come up beside you and get next to you and touch you. And when you make contact, that's when the virtue begins to flow and change. Oh, some of you are trying to reach up to God. Why don't you reach out to your friend? Instead of trying to reach up, reach out. And God's going to do the work. God bless you. You may be seated. Barrenness is an awful thing. I don't think anybody really welcomes it or desires it. But yet it does exist. It is a problem that transpires in our lives. It really means to make ineffective and to make powerless. In the Hebrew, the word comes from a derivative which means to be hamstrung. Now, many of you understand the operation of the hamstring muscle. To be hamstrung means to destroy or to hinder one's efficiency or to frustrate movement. Now, you've got to understand, barrenness is not always something you are born with. But most of the time, it comes into your life as a result of a sickness or an injury. Because you were naturally created and designed by God to reproduce. You were never designed to be barren. Now, you can get hamstrung in life because of disappointments in relationships. You can get hamstrung in life because you expected one thing to happen and something else happened. And really, some of our greatest disappointments come from our highest expectations, and you got to be real careful where you place your expectations. Because if you put your expectations on people, they can let you down, and your disappointment can cause you to be hamstrung, and the injury can make you barren. To where you're so hurt, you can't heal, you can't worship, and you can't praise God.
But I refuse to be so hurt that I cannot open my mouth and sing. And the hurt is not in charge. I have to make a choice. Am I going to sit back and suck my thumb because everything didn't turn out the way I wanted to? Or am I going to stand up and sing?
But I'm going to tell you something. The reverse is also true in the sense that you can't put too high expectation on God. If you can dream it, God can do it. He can surpass anything you can ask or think. He's not limited by our circumstances. He's not limited by our situation. But God, who is supreme and sovereign, is in this house ready to receive you. And if you've got a need, He's got the supply. If you've got a problem, He has the solution. If you want a revival, somebody better start expecting it. You don't have a big enough place. Your mind's too small. Your thinking has shriveled up because you've been hurt. But it's time to come out of your shell. It's time to quit sucking your thumb. I can't help if they treated you bad. I'm not saying they were right. They were meatheads. But there ain't nothing I can do about them. And I've asked God to shoot him in the leg. Don't kill him, God. Just shoot him in the leg. Just let the lightning hit right beside him and make him jump. I want to watch it when it happens. But God doesn't do that. He's not my hit man. And you can't put your hit list out before God and get him to bump everybody off that you don't like. It don't work that way, friend, because that might be a moment in your life when you define your destiny. And God says, I want to see whether or not you can show the same mercy that I showed you when I picked you up out of the ruins of sin. God's given you a moment in this place that if you could start singing in the midst of your pain, if you could start praising in the midst of your hurt, He would alter your destiny. Set you on a path to recover. Now the hamstring muscle is a unique muscle that is used mainly by athletes. You see, you can be hamstrung and not be totally out of commission. You can still move. You can still walk. But you cannot accelerate. And when the opportunity is presented to you and when your moment comes, when the defense has already been compromised and they've opened up a hole into the secondary, if you don't have your hamstring muscle in proper working order, you are not going to maximize your potential, and the window's going to close and they're going to tackle you and put you down. But when the window opens and the moment is there, you got to be ready to accelerate. And some of you are not ready. You're not even in position. You're hamstrung. You're still moving, but you're not accelerating and you're not maximizing nothing. Oh, but you said, Brother Kenzie, you don't know what's happened in my life. Quit telling me what's happened. You don't know. I can't be this because somebody did something to me. I've come to tell you, you're about to experience your breakthrough moment right now, and you don't want to miss it. I'm going to tell you right now, barrenness is a self-inflicted wound. Most of us are in prisons we have built for ourselves. I'm telling you, you built your own prison and you're behind your own bars and you're rattling your own cage and you're blaming somebody else on it. I've come to tell you, why don't you tear the cage down? Said, Brother Kenzie, what are you doing? I'm waiting for my moment. What are you doing? I'm enlarging my tent.
90% of all hamstring injuries that take place in the lives of athletes are done as a result of one simple oversight. They forgot to stretch before the game. No stretching. It has to be stretched. And that's the reason why you can't get nothing from God, is you're not stretching, you're shriveled up. Whoa, I'm preaching tonight. I done hit you on the backside. I just came up here in this house on the first night and said, we gonna knock the devil upside his head. If some of you would come alive and worship right now, if some of you would quit waiting for God to do something, and you do something because God's already done something at Calvary. It is finished. Salvation is finished. He's wanting somebody to stretch. You need to stretch out and say, I'm going to believe God for the impossible. You will not be ashamed. My God is going to work on your behalf. He's going to bless you in a measure that you've never even believed possible, because your moment. Said, what in the world were you people doing up here in the first part of this service, singing to the top of your lungs? I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. What in the world were these men doing up here in this pulpit saying, come on, everybody, let's praise the Lord. What were they doing? They were stretching the hamstring muscle. That's what singing service is. It's our stretching exercises. What you doing? I'm trying to get loose, because when God speaks His word, it's going to transform my life. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, where the scripture very plainly says that the Spirit moved on the face of the deep. And we Pentecostals love that moving of the Spirit on the face of the deep. But you see, just right after that, it says, and the Lord said, let there be light. Brother, a moving of the Spirit is a preliminary to the speaking of a word. And if you've just got a moving of the Spirit, you don't have enough of the combination to make a miracle. You need to wait around till God speaks the word. Because when the Spirit's moving like it's moving tonight, get ready. I said, get ready. God's fixing to create something in your life. He's fixing to take that chaos that's been working against you. And you're about to have a mercy moment in the presence of the King. See, because when God starts talking, He starts creating. His words got creative power, not just spanking power, not just rebuke power. Sometimes we need rebuking. How many of you will say amen or oh me? How many of you will go ahead and admit it? Why don't you know good and well? Come on, admit to me. Just admit to me. I want to see if you're going to make heaven or not. I want to see whether you can make heaven or not. How many of you will admit God has spanked the ever-loving out of you at times? Has God ever beat the fire out of you? Has God ever spanked you for a bad attitude? Then if He has never done that, you're probably not serving Him. Because if He loves you, He's going to whoop you. Now that's my translation. But it does serve to get the point across. I said if God loves you, He's going to whoop you. But by the same token, that word that whoops also has the power to create. That when there is chaos, do not fear. God can, in the midst of chaos, still give revival. Come on, Pastor, quit waiting for everything to get right before God moves. Everything don't have to be right. He just needs somebody to praise Him. So we got too much trouble in this church, we can't have revival. There's no such thing as too much trouble that we can't have revival. Father, there was chaos in the beginning. The earth was without form and void, and God still moved. God can move in anything. God can move in the biggest mess that man has ever made. I'm not going to let the mess hamstring me. I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to anticipate. I'm going to stretch out for it because I'm going to get set. I'm going to get ready and I'm about to go. Because God's got a word for the Indiana district. He's not finished with you yet. You haven't seen your greatest revival. You haven't seen your greatest move of God. I'm here to maximize the potential of your destiny. You weren't born to be bitter. I said you weren't born to be bitter. Now, can I just be honest with you? I've tried talking all my situations out and it don't help. It just makes me more mad. The more I tell everybody what's going on, the madder I get. And the more I want to take matters into my own hands and fix it. Boy, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish wedding, but it's still the truth anyhow. That's what's wrong with some of you now. You got your hands all in it and God can't do nothing with it, so He's turned it over to you. And what you've done so far with it ain't too much, is it? Why don't you turn that mess back to God and quit talking about it and hush up and start praising Him? I feel like crying, but I'm going to praise first. Aren't you hurting on the inside? Sure I am, but I'm going to sing before I cry. Because when I get the divine order, a desolation rises up in my spirit. And God's got a promise, more of the children of the desolate than of the married wife. Those who are comfortable, those who no longer have any romance in their hearts, those that are no longer in love. But if you're going to praise Him like you're in love with Him. If you're going to worship, worship like you're in love with Him. If you're going to come to church, act like you love Jesus. You may not like the person you're sitting next to. You may not like the preacher in the pulpit. But if he's preaching truth, why don't you get it off your mind? And maximize your potential. You see, you got to watch how you buy into what other people say about you. The Bible says it's a glory to a man to overlook an insult. You know, that was so simple, it just went right over your head. Because every one of you think you got to answer insult for insult. You got to get back. Ain't nobody going to run over me now. No, if you get that kind of spirit on you, God's not going to bless you. You need to go ahead and quit insulting back. But give blessing instead. Initiate the process to break the damaging, destructive cycle. You got a cycle of destruction and work in your life, and I'm here to bust it all up. I'm the cycle buster tonight. I'm coming out with a Holy Ghost sledgehammer and I'm coming against every cycle of destruction. Why don't you hush up and say, God, I'm fixing to go into my stretching exercises. Woo! I'll fly. What you doing? I'm stretching. I'm trying to get the hamstring ready because my moment is about to transpire. And when God speaks, I'm going to connect. You see, some of you are still injured by what has happened in your past. And that injury, I'm not saying that what they did was right. I'm just saying that the injury has held you in a state of barrenness that God did not design for your walk with the Lord. He did not make you to be that way. But the injury has kept you that way because you do not yet perceive and understand what God is doing in your life. And all he's waiting on is for you to make that simple turn in the spirit that says, I've got a revelation and an understanding that I'm not going to sit here and be like this forever. One good thing about it, God never leaves chaos, chaos. When he starts moving and speaking, he's going to say, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. And you're going to join in with him and say, the Lord is good. Can I brag on y'all here in Indiana just a little bit? Is that all right? Y'all won't get mad at me if I brag on you just a little bit. I love to watch these little silver-haired people around here been in church for 852 years. And I don't know why they're so happy tonight. They're supposed to be all messed up of everything that's happened in their life. They're supposed to have gone through so many storms they don't even feel like praising God. They can't jump like I jump. They can only nod their head and give me a little smile, but that's all right. Don't jump because I don't want to take you out of here in the stretcher. I ain't stretched that hamstring in a long time, so don't try to overwork it. Oh, but keep on smiling. That smile is worth 50 of you clapping your hands. Why? Because they've been through it. They've gone through the fire. And when they came out on the other side, they were delivered. So I say to you, Indiana, sing, 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 sing. Now, I like the way the Bible says it because it says exactly the way you got to do it. You got to break forth into singing. Now, here's the deal. You got to have a breakthrough to even start the singing. You're never going to sing till you get the breaking forth. Now, my Bible says to sow unto yourselves in righteousness. That means what that's a poetic expression of you need to work on yourself and quit working on everybody else. I just thought I'd interpret that Hebrew poetry for you, let you know. Quit worrying about what's happening in somebody else's life. Fix your own self first. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. That means take care of your own problem. Say, well, we're just not worshiping. Well, you can start anytime. There ain't no shouting going on in this camp meeting. Why don't you start it up? My God, what's wrong with you? See, we're always thinking about what's happening corporately, and you're never sowing to yourselves in righteousness. If you want to worship in church, then you come to church worshiping. If you want a revival church, come to church revived. Quit waiting on somebody else to do it. You need to stretch out. I'm fixing to enlarge my tent. I'm fixing to lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. I'm going to spare not. Because we got to have some church around here. I think you ought to be a part of the solution. Instead of recognizing the problem. You know, and that's just what I made up in my mind to do every time I come to church. I'm just going to worship God in spite of everything else. I don't care if the sound system isn't right. I don't care if they're not singing on key at all. I don't care. I remember one revival in Pearl River, Louisiana. They had this big bass drum. I'm talking about it's bigger than I was. It was huge, and it had a tambourine, and they beat that ever-loving bass drum with that ignorant tambourine. For 3 nights, I had a migraine headache. Boom. Boom. I said, God, I wish that thing would break. It's killing my head. And the Lord said, they're praising me and you're not. I've never seen one of those bass drums in any other church in the oneness movement. And I have praised God for everyone I have not seen. But in that revival, for that church, for that culture, it was important that I learned that even though it didn't agree with my culture, they were praising God and I had an attitude. I feel like preaching all up in this house now. I think it's time you lay your attitude down and you pick up your praise. Come on, Indiana, put your praise on. I'm crying, I'm hurting, but I'm going to break forth. I'm going to sow to myself. I'm going to break up the fallow ground. That's what the word does. Is it breaks up the fallow ground. You got to break forth. That means something's got to break in your spirit to get you to sing. And that's what I'm here to do, is to get you to sing. Now, this is the way I want to illustrate it, so y'all can be seated for a moment. Some of you got all kinds of energy. Come on up here. Come on up here. I'm going to let you be Jesus, okay? You're going to be Jesus. I like what the scripture says. Come on up here, brother. You're going to be the hindrance. Just stand right here. Right here. Stand right there. And look at me. Get over there, Jesus. Hold on. I don't generally get to tell Jesus what to do, but boy, tonight's going to be fun. All right, you're another part of the hindrance. Y'all link up, and then you go over there and hinder, and you get over there too. You got your little smile on going. And y'all the hindrance. The Hebrews call it the Yetzer Hara. It refers to the resistance that's in all of nature to the capacity for growth. That in every human experience, there is the Yetzer Hara, which is the natural resistance to spiritual growth. I don't care. You know, somebody comes to church and says, I feel a resistance here. Well, boy, aren't you a discerner of the spirits? Now, how ignorant can you be? There's a resistance in every service. Deal with it. There's never a time I've gone to church. There ain't never been a time. How many of you have ever had the alarm clock go off and you jump out of bed singing in tongues? How many times has that happened? Come on, lift your hand up. Zero. None. You're not backslid. You're just human because you didn't want to get up. How many of you hit that little knob on that thing that gave you 9 more minutes? Give me 9, Jesus. I need 9 more. Why? Because there's a resistance to getting up in the morning. And then when you're up, there's a resistance sometimes going to bed at night. Your mind's so full of worry. Every time you come to church, there's a resistance. You say, well, who's the resistance? You. The Yetzer Hara is in all of us. So what do you do, Brother Kinsey? Do you rebuke the resistance? That's like trying to rebuke the noses off of everybody's face. Unless I bust it, unless I put a little fivefold ministry on it, it's going to stay there. No matter how much rebuking I do. So this is what you have to do. Micah tells us exactly what to do. The breaker's going to come. There's a moment in every service when the breaker comes. He's the king that goes before us. Jesus, where's my king? Jesus, he's my king. Get out there, king. Now stop. Hallelujah. The king is in the house. There's a resistance. There was a resistance here tonight. There'll be a resistance tomorrow night. There'll be one Wednesday night. There'll be one in the morning. But I'm not fretting over it. I'm not going to get all upset because there's a resistance in the house. I just understand the Yetzer Hara is here. But I found a way to break forth. Well, what you gonna do? I'm gonna start praising him. I'm gonna start singing. I don't feel like singing, but I'm gonna break forth into singing. If you do the song books, or if you do the little slide stuff, whatever you do, just do it. I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna praise him. I'm gonna get with it. Now here's what happens in a lot of Pentecostals' lives. They pick up on this Yetzer Hara and they start using it to gain power. And they actually become the resistance and it feeds their ego. I'm preaching to you tonight. I know I was raised in this stuff. I understand it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I know how you is. And friend, you are not doing anything but nailing your coffin. And killing your growth. And stopping your revival. But don't worry about it. Doesn't make any difference if they get their ego fed by it. That don't stop God either. Well, what do you want me to do? Get your mind off of everybody else and get your eyes on the captain. Excuse me, darling. I'm not praising because this bunch over here can't see straight and sit down and behave themselves in church. They're so excited about Jesus. What you doing in the prayer room before church? I'm stretching. I'm waiting for my moment. I'm waiting for the breaker to show up. Because the Yetzirah's there. And you got ignorant saints that think that that's their power trip, you see. They've got that resistance and they know how to use it. It's a natural thing. All of us have it. It's in me. There's a natural resistance. When I walk into any service, I have to break it to worship God. In any service I walk into, no matter how long you live for God, it's there. And it'll be there till you're raptured. Well, what do? Ignore it. Quit trying to defeat it. And just wait for Jesus to move. So what you doing? I'm stretching out here. I'm singing, I'll fly away, oh glory. Praise God. And then all of a sudden, there's a moment in that service. The captain comes riding on his white stallion. And he has the angels in tow. And all of a sudden, demons start trembling. The moment has arrived. Woo, that everything in this house can be healed in spite. You say, can you prove it? I can prove it. Everybody in the house was mad when Jesus showed up at church, and the Bible even said Jesus was mad. The Pharisees was mad. Jesus was mad. And God still did the miracle in spite of everybody being mad. It happened. He said, stretch forth your hand. Oh, there's the key. You got to stretch. Even when it hurts. No stretching, no miracle. Say, but I'm upset. Don't make any difference. If you can stretch, you can still get your miracle. That's why I'm in the prayer room before church. I'm doing my stretching exercise. What you doing? I'm getting ready for my moment in the presence of the King. Because if I can just spend a mercy moment, he said, there's going to be an everlasting touch. Whoa! You're going to break forth on the right and on the left. You're going to have a revival like you've never seen before. Come on, Indiana. It's not over with yet. Hallelujah. You know what else I learned? Quit trying to get all upset. If you only get two people filled with the Holy Ghost and it wasn't your dream of 20, get excited about the two. Please. Quit chewing everybody else because it wasn't your 20. Get happy about the two. Well, all right. I've been praising. I've been singing with the song leader. I've been stretching. Every time the preacher said, lift my hands, I've lifted my hand. Didn't feel a thing, but I did it anyway. What you doing? I'm stretching. I'm breaking forth. I'm getting out of the Yetzirah. I can't change it. It's a part of my nature to resist spiritual growth. But I've got another law in my members. And it's the law of the Spirit of life that gives me power. The law of sin and death is at work in me. But there's a higher law. All right, Jesus, I want you to go right down the middle and burst a hole right in the midst of the Yetzirah. They look like a horror. They are horror. But you're the captain, and I've stretched. And now all of a sudden, there's a breakthrough, and I come running around, and I run. The Bible says, run this race with patience. Don't sit around. Run, 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 run. Ye did run well. I'm not just going to sit around. I'm going to get ready to run. Because a moment I feel this in the Holy Ghost, a moment's about to happen in Indiana that God's going to break forth on the left. If you can stretch, if you can anticipate it, if you can leave the past alone and quit letting it injure you and hamstring you. I'm not saying you're not going to make heaven. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm just saying you can't maximize nothing. You're limited in what you can do. Because God's got a breakthrough. Do I still have some time here? All right. Just give me 9 more minutes. I just hit the buzzer on the alarm. The alarm went off. Y'all was tired. But I'm going to hit the buzzer. Can I hit the buzzer and go just a few more minutes? Okay, yes, Sahara, get back up there. All you problems and mess. Horace, some of you on power trips thinking you all big and bad because you've learned how to use that resistance to gain control and manipulate. I'm going to tell you what that is. See, a lot of people think witchcraft is supernatural. And you can't find it one place in the Bible where it's listed under supernatural. It's a work of the flesh. It's called witchcraft. And what witchcraft is control. I refuse it. I'm not here to control nothing. I'm here to turn Jesus loose and let him do the work. But with every breakthrough, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this. With every breakthrough, you got to have a strategy. God gave Israel a strategy for every breakthrough they've ever had. Their Jerichos had a strategy. March around 7 times on the last day. And don't run your mouth at all. Keep your mouth shut till you hear the ram's horn. And when the ram's horn sounds, then you shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Woo! I've got the strategy, church. I got the jailbreak strategy. Paul and Silas set it up for us. They said, pray and then sing praises. Pray, then sing praises. Somebody needs to break forth into singing right now. How many times did Israel defeat the enemy whenever they had the ability to use their weapons and their military? But God said, gather together and start praising me. Start singing, singing. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, Indiana, could I have a moment of your time? Do you want revival? Or is your spirit so desolated by your circumstance that you can no longer perceive the possibility of what God could do if he were ever released in your life? The scripture in Micah gives us the answer. Why does God allow this? Why does he do it? The last part of the verse gives you the answer. That he might be the Lord of all. Why? Because no glory is going to be given to this flesh. That's why the Yetzirah is there. That's why you've got to stretch. That's why you got to do it. Because without the moment of God's presence in your life giving you victory to break forth and get through the resistance, you will never do it. Willpower will not do it. All of your speaking, you can speak to the mountain, the rock, and everything else, and no water's going to come out, and no mountain's going to move till he moves. Until you get your moment. But if I could have a moment of your time, if I could get you to spend just one moment in his presence and get over yourself for just a little while, God would break forth on the left and the right, and you would find out that everything you'd ever dreamed or ever desired or ever hoped for is about to happen right now in your life. So now, Jesus, go out in front of me. This is what he's wanting to do. Brian, I want to be the Lord of your life. I'm your captain, but I want to be Lord. You got to make me Lord. And when finally I get the revelation, Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of lords. When I get a revelation that all the glory belongs to Him, then I've broken through every resistance. And there's revival. And there's a move of God. Somebody's running on Monday night. There must be revival in Indiana. People don't run on Monday night, folks. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's right with you. There's a hunger in people's hearts here tonight. There's a hunger in the Indiana district. And God has seen it. God sees your hunger. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that my Jesus does. And I have complete full confidence in Him that if I'll go according to His divine order, He will flow along His order that He has prescribed in His Scripture. He's done it in my life on many occasions, and He will do it for you. You have to break forth into singing. And when you take authority over yourself, begin to sow to yourselves in righteousness. Watch out. Spare not. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. Stretch forth. You about to see a revival, a deliverance, and realize a destiny. I just feel to tell somebody this, your future's so bright you're going to have to start wearing sunglasses. Because God has designed it for you. Shall we stand? It was stated from the very beginning that God's going to do something special in this camp meeting. That word has gone forth. It has been reiterated and confirmed by other men of God, anointed of the Spirit, that have stepped to this pulpit and have spoken the very same things, pointing out the deliverances that have taken place in times past on these campgrounds as a result of not just simply God coming down, but people reaching out. Not just simply God moving in His moment, but people stretching and reaching forth and connecting. Not just to God, but to others who are also in desperate need, for they feel the desolations of their own barrenness, and they're crying out to God. I'm hungry, Lord. If you got any kind of Holy Ghost in your life, you got a dream to see God do something. If you've lost your dream, you've lost your Holy Ghost. That's a good indicator right there of whether or not the touch of God is truly in your life, is because if He ever touches you, you'll begin to see things you didn't see before. You'll begin to anticipate and expect things that otherwise you would not expect, but your life has genuinely been touched. And your eyes have been opened to potential and possibilities that you did not see before. Don't stay shriveled up. Stretch. I know it hurts. It's the beginning process. It's not really, after you get going, it's kind of all right. You kind of get warmed up. It's starting it. And that's the whole thing. It's starting it. That law of inertia. If it stopped, it has a tendency to remain stopped. And a greater force has to come along, push it into action. And that law works in our members as the law of sin and death. And it's there for him. Because you haven't been delivered from your flesh yet. You got baptized in Jesus' name, but you still got to put that flesh under subjection every day. Every day. I die daily, Paul said. That Yetzirah comes up every day, and it's got to be put away every day. It's got to die daily. Put it under subjection. Go forward in the kingdom of God. But right now, I feel an anticipation growing in the hearts of the people of God. Would you just turn to a friend around you? Just